Hi, I'm Colin, and this is another episode of No Filter with Kobo Podcast. I'll be the guest host in today's episode. Today's topic is super cute and a little different from what we've previously discussed, and that is cosmetics for pets. And to talk about this fast-growing and very interesting market, we have two pet lovers and cosmetic specialists with us. First, the business manager of Latin America, Graciela LeChunk. Hi, Graciela.
Hi, Colin. How are you? I am so excited to be here because, well, I am a pet owner. I have a Rottweiler. So, you know, this is interesting to me.
Perfect. So we have an expert. Thank you so much for being here. And we also have with us Gabriela Mastelero, the business manager at Kobo Brazil. And you also might be familiar with her voice as she is the host of the podcast. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Colin. Hi, Graciela. As always, I'm happy to be here, and it's very nice to experience a different side of the podcast and answer a few questions now. Well, I don't have any pets currently, but this is such a nice and interesting topic. The market is definitely growing, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we're definitely going to be talking about a lot. And we'll also continue to talk about cosmetics, which is Kobo's specialty, but for a different consumer, the pets. Those cute dogs and cats that make our lives better, and some might say they're even better than humans. Nowadays, we see more and more people adopting little pets. Owners are making sure they're giving their pets a lot of love and are willing to spend money to ensure their pets are healthy and cared for. The pet care sector has been exploding in recent years. The forecast shows an increase of 140% by the year of 2026, according to the research made by Euromonitor in 2021. Another study estimates a growth of at least 5.1% per year until 2030. So to start off the conversation, I wanted to gain a better understanding of products that can be created for pet care. So I'm sure there are some specific types. Graciela, can you give us a few examples?
Oh, yes. Of course, if we think about cleaning, we have the shampoos, the conditioners, and then for some pets, we have paws, soothers, SPF products that are quite interesting, some fragrances, soaps, balms. So there are a bunch of really interesting products for our pets.
Wow, those are a lot of options. And those are some of them that you mentioned I didn't even imagine. Another thing I'm curious about is, and I believe, Gabby, you could help me with this.
Okay.
Graciela mentioned shampoo and conditioner, which are products that we humans also have. But I'm guessing it's not the same. So what are the biggest concerns when we are developing a pet product? And what are the biggest differences between pets and humans?
That's a very interesting question. And if we think about, let's say, the microbiota of the skin of animals, they're very similar to what we humans have, but it's not equal. And the same goes for the difference between our hair and the fur of animals. Pets usually have a thinner skin with fewer layers, and they have more pores and more sebum. And in that sense, their skin absorbs more product and easier, meaning that they have more sensitive skin. So some ingredients can cause more damage to the skin and give their skin a little dryness, excessive flaking. I'll give you an example of an ingredient. We have sodium lauryl sulfate, which is a very common surfactant used in shampoos and soaps for humans. But it should be avoided in products for pets because it could be aggressive to their skin. Another point that we must take into account when we're going to develop a product for pets is the pH, because the pH of the human skin is around 4.3 and 5.9. But for cats and dogs, the pH is much more alkaline, is 6.3 to 7.5. And besides that, if I might add, pets don't have, some of them won't have a thermoregulatory action, and they have a higher cell turnover than humans. So you should definitely consider all that when developing a product for that audience.
Well, those are some great points, Gabby. And Graciela, in addition to this, on a legal aspect, what would be the difference with cosmetics for pets? Can we even call them cosmetics?
Well, the last question is very interesting. You know that, for example, in the European Union, the cosmetic product regulation defines a cosmetic as what? A substance or a mixture that intended to be placed in contact with the external parts of the body, the human body, specifically. So pet products are not intended to be used on human body. So what? They are not classified as cosmetics, so no legislation is applied to these products. And that is important because in terms of marketing, we can call them cosmetics, but in terms of the legal aspect, they don't follow, you know, the legislation as the cosmetics that do. So however, to classify products in the correct legal frameworks, companies have to pay attention of the function of the product. For example, we talk about shampoos, conditioners, all of that are like general products because are for cleaning the pets. But said this, if they are not under cosmetic legislation, do they have any aspect to keep them into some legal framework? Yes, because we have the classification, labeling, and packaging chemical regulation that since 2017 regulates really the products for our pets. In this case, if an ingredient is above a maximum level of inclusion, you need to place what? A sign of dangerous. Nobody wants that. Also said this, to comply really with the legislation sometimes costs more, but it's good for our pets. Then preservatives used for pet groomings are listed under the Article 95 of Biocide Product Directive. And finally, it's very important to consider that the list of ingredients are not necessary unless some special need. If we think about the FDA in the United States, again, these are grooming aid. These are not a cosmetic. So the FDA, they is not legislating what is about this kind of products. However, if a product is made for human use as well, or if the product has some therapeutic purposes, there the FDA has incumbency because it's very important to register a new drug, for example. Of course, here in the States, we can say that the pet grooming product must still comply with the packaging and labeling requirements by the Federal Trade Commission and also the state consumer protections law. Said this, we can call in marketing cosmetics for pets, but they don't follow the cosmetic legislation anywhere. You know, yes, we have to take very important consideration in the label, you know.
Yes, I see. Thank you for breaking that down for us and making that a lot more clear. To expand on this, are there any regulations that you should follow if you are starting a pet grooming brand?
Well, Colin, I think I can help with that. So, Marcela mentioned a lot about the product themselves and how they are or aren't regulated. But not only the product is regulated, but also the company that manufactures it. And obviously that depends on the country that you are. And usually in most locations, the regulation is related with the Ministry of Agriculture, Farming, Livestock. I'll give you an example of Brazil. Here we have a normative instruction. It's number 37 of 1999. Which defines these products are exempt from registration, but you need to register the company at the regulatory body, which is called MAPA. And obviously each country will have its own defined agency that regulates that, and you should obviously take care and check it out on your country, which agency you need to be registered and all the documents that you need to have. But the important thing to mention, I think, is that it's not because you are allowed to manufacture cosmetics for humans that you are immediately allowed also to manufacture pet grooming products or so-called cosmetics for pets. So the regulation might be different, and it is different in most locations. Marcel, I'm not sure if you have any other examples to share about this.
Yes, Gabriela, as you said, everywhere exists. For example, in my country, in Argentina, we have the National Service of Health and Quality of Agriculture and Livestock Products. As you mentioned, you know, if, at any country, and if you really manufacture a product for pet, your facility or your lab must be authorized by this national service. And because in this case, the product is safe to sell to the to the pet owners. But honestly, what is more important here is that the lab, you know, this is the most important thing, that the lab must be authorized, and you don't need to be to have a veterinarian. The technical director could be a chemist or a pharmacist in this case. And the idea is to guarantee, you know, the kind of product to be mild for the pet, you know, fur, and that's all.
Very, very interesting. Thank you both for all the information you just shared. So now I want to change the conversation a little bit and discuss something a little bit controversial, which is animals being used to test cosmetic products that would be sold to us humans. Cosmetics for human animal testing was banned in Europe many years ago, and now it's banned in many other countries. But for pet care products, is there a way to avoid testing on animals?
Well, Colin, that's definitely can be controversial. And I would say that most companies and brands nowadays would prefer not to test on animals, regardless of the end use of the product, if it's animals or humans. Unfortunately, there are some strategies nowadays that we can avoid the testing directly on animals. One way could be to apply the product on the fallen fur of the animals and then do a microscopy analysis, also use pieces of the skin from animals that have undergone surgery, or even work with the development of a three-dimensional model of the epidermis using immortalized cells. So definitely we can see that the technology has evolved, and now we can count on various options to avoid any animal testing.
Well, that's great to know, Gabby. It's nice to know that there's various options nowadays and animals do not have to suffer anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm aware that AppLab in Brazil made a few formulas for pet care. Can you share about one of them and let us know what Kobo can offer for these type of products?
Sure, yes. Our lab has been very creative and very interesting in creating, you know, those products for pets. And one of the things that we have now is a formulation for hydrating the paws of the pets. As we humans, we need to hydrate our feet, our body, our nails. Animals also need that. And so we developed a moisturizing balm for paws, which in addition to moisturizing, also regenerates the skin. In this balm, we use the product of our Plandul series, which prevents the transepidermal water loss and also helps with the regeneration of the skin. And to make this balm even more potent, we also used our SanBoost ATB Natural, which is a natural, obviously, mix of antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and anti-irritant agents, helping to take care of the pet's paw. And it's good to remember also that this formula is 100% natural origin, which could be very interesting for products for pets in general, since it helps to avoid intoxication and because basically the animal can, you know, maybe lick the part that the product was applied. So we want to definitely avoid any intoxication.
It's very smart to have this natural product for our animals because, like you said, they will lick anything and everything. But the hydration of the skin is very important. So that is amazing as well. So what about sunscreens? Should we use sunscreens for our pets like we do for babies and ourselves?
Well, I can mention something here about Colin. First, it is important to notice that dogs and cats, they have areas where the hair is thinner or skin pigmentation is very low. So a sunburn can appear, or it can appear under the fur too. Usually, sunburn appears as inflamed red skin area. on hairless or maybe on other vulnerable areas such as the bridge of the nose, the tips of the ears, skin around the lips, as well as the sunburn causes hair loss. Applying sunscreen to all of this area prevents sunburn, so keep your pet safe. The skin also on the groin, inside legs, and the abdomen can also need protection. Selecting a sunscreen is very important if we have to consider around SPF 15, SPF 30, you know, like the similar SPF that we consider for humans, I mean, in terms of the number that is all. So here is a very important thing. Is the same kind of product? Sometimes people say, well, if I use this for the baby, maybe safe for the pet. But depends on the ingredients because our animals try to lick themselves. So talk a little bit about the ingredients because the protective ingredients include ethylexylmethoxycinamide, octyl salicylate, omosalate, and benzophenone 3. And the octyl salicylate product should not be used on cats, for example, because it's toxic for cats. Then about sunscreen for dogs should not contain zinc oxide or paraminobenzoic acid, as there are toxins for dog because they lick themselves. You know, so we have to consider this when we apply a product on the skin or the fur of our pets. You know, it's not that you cannot use any other, but it's better if it's really a product intended to, prepare for a pet.
Well, Graciela, let me tell you that we developed a really good formula for exactly that. So it's KSL-401BR. This is a stick sunscreen for muscles. So some dog breeds are more sensitive to solar radiation, as you mentioned, and it's extremely important to use some protection. And this stick was developed only with natural origin ingredients again. And we used only titanium dioxide because, as you mentioned, Graciela, that's one sunscreen that's considered safe for animals and shouldn't cause any intoxication for them. So that's a really nice stick formulation that can be used.
Wow, this is a great formula for pets. And if you're interested in learning more about KSL-501BR, click the link to our website in the description of the podcast, and you'll be able to find out the ingredients that Gabby and Graciela have mentioned. So to go to our last question for you both, how do you see the market in the future for cosmetics for pets?
Well, Colin, I believe that there's definitely a trend of increasing the number of products that we see in the market for pets. And I think in the future, they're going to be more focused on sustainability, so more natural or sustainable products, as we are seeing for cosmetics for humans, in fact. All of them vegan and developed also with soothing products and for sensitive skin. As we discussed, their skin is more sensitive than ours. And I think we're going to see more minimalist formulas as well, with less ingredients to also avoid toxicity. And maybe the future can be also selecting and developing products that can be exclusive to some types of pets or even different animal breeds.
Yes, Gabby, that is a very good point because you see the same for food, you know, that they have specific food for some breeds in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, you know, Colleen and Gabby, I also believe that we discussed about that these grooming aids, to be more accurate, are really good for dogs, but they are not cosmetic, so the legislation is not over them. But yes, the labeling and some regulations. But if you think that also the manufacturers need to register the product. So there are some things that are really going very well, but there are some gaps, you know? So I believe that in the future also this will be more under control, that will be really excellent, not only for our pets also for us, because sometimes people do things with pets believing that it's good and it's not, you know? So I believe that this will be better in the future. There will be a better change relating all the steps.
Well, I'm very excited to see what the future holds for this market. But unfortunately, we have reached the end of this episode. Graciela and Gabby, thank you guys so much for being here and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Colin. It was very nice to be here once again. And if I might add, you made a really good host. You're welcome to replace me anytime.
Thank you so much, Gabby. I really appreciate that. And thank you to our listeners for listening to us. If you want to learn more about this market and the products that we have discussed, check out our links in the description of this episode. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify or the platform of your choice to not miss any new episodes. And don't forget to follow us on social media. We'll see you next time.